Would you like to have a seat? And Hazel, who has been appointed in the last literally sort of 2 or 3 weeks as our children and families team leader, is going to come and help us to explore a Bible passage. Thank you, Hazel.
So our Bible passage today is taken from Micah, and one of the verses talks about in the last days, tools, bad tools like swords and spears, will be transformed into good tools, tools that are productive and can help us. So to help us to start to think about that, I want us to think about our hands, because obviously our hands are our tools and they can be used for good and for bad. So if you can, I'd like you to put your hands out in front of you with your palms up and take a look at them. Now, most of us will have 10 fingers. Most of us, the hands will be of similar size. Maybe you've got some rough bits of skin where you've been doing a particular job. You might see some blue tinges representing the blood vessels that are giving life and energy and warmth to your hand. All of us will have little lines, lines crisscrossing over our palms, going up towards our fingertips. Each one of us has a unique and intricate pattern, a fingerprint and a palm print unique to you that nobody has had before and nobody will have to come. Now maybe turn your hands over and maybe wiggle your fingers. Watch how the fingers move, how all the muscles and ligaments work together to make different movements. Each movement designed by God, and each movement designed to have a purpose for good. Maybe it's for building or creating. Maybe it's for holding a hand, helping somebody across the road, or just showing that you care. Maybe it's for eating, or maybe it's for playing, throwing, or catching a ball. But our hands can also be used for bad things, for fighting and wars, for pushing people away, or maybe taking what's ours, what's not ours. Because sin has entered the world, our hands sometimes choose to do things that aren't good, but bad. However, Jesus looked at his hands, and he sees the scars of the nails in his hands that were hung across upon the cross. The cross, though, that he defeated. And this gives each one of us hope. Hope now, because we can ask to be filled with his Holy Spirit so that God's life can live inside us and he can help our hands to do peaceful and kind and good and gentle things. But also hope for the future, because we know that when Jesus returns, every knee will bow and every hand will be raised to him, and there will be no more fighting or wars, or evil, or sin, because Jesus will make everything new.
Thank you, Hazel. We're going to hear that Bible reading that Hazel was talking about from Micah in just a moment, but first of all, we're going to sing a song reflecting on that sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. It's Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice. Again, if it's comfortable for you to do so, why don't you stand as we sing this? Please do have a seat, everyone. So why don't we have that passage from Micah chapter 4 for us now. Thank you, Ian.
In the future, the mountain with the Lord's temple will be the highest of all.
It will reach above the hills and every nation shall rush to it.
people of many nations will come and say,
let's go up to the mountain of the Lord God of Jacob and worship in his temple.
The Lord will teach us the law from Jerusalem,
and we will obey him.
He will settle arguments between distant and powerful nations.
They will pound their swords and their spears into rakes and shovels, and they will never again make war or attack one another.
Everyone will find rest beneath their own fig trees or grapevines, and they will live in peace.
This is a solemn promise of the Lord All-Powerful.
Others may follow their gods, but we will always follow the Lord our God.
When you all came in, you were given a pipe cleaner. It's now time to retrieve your pipe cleaner because we're going to get creative as we explore this last verse a little bit more. So you can see that the last verse of the reading for today says they will pound their swords and their spears into rakes and shovels. So the first thing I would like you to do with your pipe cleaner is to make a sword like this. And I think Ian is going to show you a picture of one on this screen. Quite simple. Doesn't have to look exactly like that. You can be creative and make something slightly different. I made it into a T at the bottom and then just folded it up. But I'll give you a minute to do that. Have you got one? Oh, I can see some good things over here. Well done. Wait, give us a wave with your sword when you're done. Brilliant. Okay, so now keep going, keep working as I'm talking. But now I want you to think personally about how this verse can impact your life and maybe your own particular response to it. How can you change that pipe cleaner into a shape of something that you can use for good for somebody around you? Maybe it be a friend or somebody in your family or somebody that you don't know. And we've got some examples of things that you might be able to make them up on the screen. So I had a little friend help me with some of these. Some of them are obvious. So we've got a mug there. Maybe you need to think about somebody that you need to have a little chat with, maybe make amends, or maybe somebody that's just a bit lonely and would really love to have a conversation over a cup of tea. We've got, well, it might be a fork or it might be a rake. Maybe you need to help somebody with some jobs in the garden or the house or offer somebody a meal. We've got a circle at the end. Maybe that could represent a coin. Maybe you need to give some money to a charity. So it might benefit somebody maybe the other side of the world that you will never know about. Or maybe it could be a football. Maybe there's somebody that you need to include in your football games or your netball games at school. Or maybe, again, it could be a plate to represent something else. I think the bottom ones are a little bit harder. We've got a fish. Not quite sure what that would represent. I think there's a cross. I think that's just for a kiss. Maybe it's just showing love physically to somebody. And then this bean thing is supposed to be an ear. Just listening to something. But I'm going to give you a moment now just to have a think about what you might be able to create.
So while you're still going with your pipe cleaners, of course, the point of that passage in Micah is the prophet is saying there is times when we just caught up in conflict and war, when swords are all around us, when it's all about the weapons. But for the people of God, there is the hope that the time will come when those weapons are transformed, when they're not just taken away, when they are turned into something good and hopeful and promising. And I just want to tell you a really simple story of a soldier in the First World War and the way in which his faith led him to bring hope in a really desperate and dark place. This is a picture of Ronald Marchant, no relation of the Marchants in our church, as far as I know. But Ronald Marchant was one of four boys who grew up in Kent just before the outbreak of the war. And at the age of 19, he was sent off to the front line with his brothers. And he found his way to being a Royal Army Medical Corps stretcher bearer. If that doesn't sound like a fun job, you're probably right. It was an extremely challenging job, and he had to, year after year, day after day, go out with this stretcher and carry people back into the safety of the trenches when they had been shot or wounded during the offensives. And normally this was done at night, because the Germans on the other side had snipers set up, and if you peered over the top of the trenches and they got a shot at you, they would take it. And so he would spend night after night going out into no man's land, picking up people who were injured, carrying them back to the trenches, to a place of safety. Something terrifying happened to him. He was at Passchendaele. You know, that was one of the great offensives of the First World War, when thousands of people were killed in just a handful of days. And he got to the end of the normal shift. The sun was coming in. The normal order was given to stop trying to retrieve people because it was too dangerous. But the chaplain of his corps came along and said to him, "There's two more people out there. I can see them. They need help. I'm willing to go if you are. I'm willing to go if you are." And Ronald honestly thought that this was potentially the end of his life. He knew that he could take that risk, but there was a very good chance that somebody would try and shoot him, and he might well lose his life if he went for it. He didn't really want to do it, but he felt like he should. So they took the risk. They went over the top. They retrieved those two people who were in no man's land. They brought them back, and all of them, all four of them, the two people they rescued, the chaplain and Ronald, made it out of that situation alive and made it through the war alive. He came back to Kent. He spent the rest of his life bringing up a family who were able to tell this story to the Bible Society in the last few years. What was remarkable about Ronald was they discovered that he had and kept safe a little copy of the New Testament. Last year we were giving out little replica copies of John's Gospel, and he would have had something like this issued to him as a member of the military. They would have said, "Here's a copy of the scriptures for you." And the copy that his family have, when you look at it, it falls open at Ronald's favorite verse from John 2, chapter 11. It's the only bit of the Bible that he's highlighted, and it talks about the beginning of the miracles of Jesus. He was a man who had experienced the miracle of being protected by Jesus. And it goes on to talk about how the miracles manifested forth his glory and his disciples believed on him. So for Ronald, knowing Jesus, even in the horrors of war, even in the worst horrors of Passchendaele, meant that he was looking for those opportunities, even when he was surrounded by swords, to find ways to bring hope. So I hope that as you take home your little pipe cleaner, whatever you've turned it into, whether you've turned it into a cup of tea or a coin or a cross or a fish for some reason, if whatever it is, I hope that you will hold on to that and look for opportunities in situations of conflict, in situations of struggle, to be a person who, filled with God's Holy Spirit, brings hope to others. We're going to sing about that father's love that inspired Ronald Marchant. We're going to sing "How Deep the Father's Love for Us," that brings security to us, that enables us to live as the people of God. So again, the words will be on the screen. Shall we stand to sing this together? What do have a seat, and Mike, our curate, is going to come and give us a hand as he leads us in our prayers. And we're going to do this in an interactive way, so don't settle down too much. You're going to be involved.
Fab. So you should all have been given a piece of paper and a crayon when you came in. I know we were one or two short, so if you're right at the end, you might not have got one. And on that piece of paper, on one side, is a picture of a poppy. You're welcome to colour that picture in. On the other side, you will see faintly a map of the world. And we would love you to use this to help you pray for conflict around the world. Jesus teaches us, doesn't he, to pray for his kingdom to come and his will to be done. And we've seen in the Micah passage and in the reflection Gavin has given us that God doesn't desire for us to be at war with one another. And we have a hope that will one day, wars will cease. And so joining with God in seeking to pray to him, with him, to say, look, let's ask for God to end all wars. And let's look forward to the hope that one day wars will cease. I'd like you to perhaps call to mind a conflict that's close to your heart, some place in the world where it's not safe, where there's war or conflict that you have a particular connection with. And maybe just mark on the map that place with your crayon, maybe write it down. There may be some individual people you know who are involved in the services that are fighting in those wars. You may wish to write their names down. Use the sheet of paper as you see fit. And we're going to give you a couple of minutes to do that. And then shortly the choir will be standing. There will be a hymn, and at that time, some wreaths are going to come and be laid here at the altar. And during that time, once they've come up, then feel free to then come out with your poppy, with your map, and just lay that down here also at the floor, at the foot of the altar. You don't need to come if you don't want to. If you want to remain in your seats, that'll be absolutely fine. But it'd be a great way of just coming and laying your prayers before God. Thank you.
As Mike was saying, we're just going to leave you for a few moments just to present your prayers in written form there. So in just a moment, the choir are going to sing The Peace of God, John Rutter's anthem. They're going to sing for us, and while they are singing, we're going to have two wreaths laid here at the altar. One's going to be laid by Trevor. No, change of plan. Yes, it is. One is going to be laid by Trevor, our church warden, on behalf of the whole community. And the other is Hazel's going to gather up anybody who's involved with Sunday school, Sunday groups. If you're here with little people who'd like to be involved, they're really welcome just to go to the back right now as the choir begin to sing and help with the laying of the second wreath on behalf of the next generation that are going to that we're passing on this act of remembrance to. Now, once we've laid the wreaths, I'm going to invite you to stand for that bit. When the choir have finished their anthem, we're going to continue with some worship songs. Can I just say, on a practical level, I know that there's a lot of standing in this service. We're going to go on to stand for the 2 minute silence. We completely understand that standing isn't easy for everyone. We completely understand that you will want to show respect, and that it may nonetheless be necessary for you to sit for a while. So if at any point during this singing you need to take a seat or remain seated, we do entirely understand that. But otherwise, you're welcome to stand as we sing, and then we'll be going straight on into the 2 minute silence from that point. So if you're comfortable to do that to start with, as we lay the wreaths, would you like to stand now, and the choir are going to start with the anthem. And then as we go into the worship songs, do feel free to bring forward those prayers and to place them here in front of the altar with the wreaths. Heavenly Father, we know that you are gracious and compassionate, that you are slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. So we bring before you our prayers, and we offer you these prayers in hope that you will bring justice and peace. We look for the coming of your kingdom, in Jesus' name. Amen. So would you like to remain standing as we have our act of remembrance and our 2 minute silence? When you go home, tell them of us and say, for your tomorrow, we gave our today. just before we conclude our service. We're going to sing the National Anthem. I don't know if you've ever noticed, but the National Anthem is actually a prayer. It's a prayer for the Queen, but not just for the Queen, but for the whole nation, as the Queen represents us as the head of our nation. So we're going to sing both verses. We're going to pray for God's blessing on Her Majesty and on our nation. And you may want to use this time just to pray for our nation at a time of conflict and turmoil, that God will show His grace. I hope that after this service you'll be able to stay with us for refreshments in the hall through the glass doors at the back and turn left and follow the corridor round. We'd love to spend some time with you. But shall we finish with a final prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are gracious and compassionate, that you are slow to anger and abound in steadfast love. And we pray that we may know your love, your presence, your peace and your joy this week. So grant us now the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.